Kerav Osa will begin today with the Gemara in Avodah Zarah on Daf Zayin Amud Beis, and the Gemara begins 12 lines up from the bottom of the Daf, goes on to Daf Ches Amud Aleph, and in Birtz Hashem we'll study parts of this Gemara, not all of it, but that which is Nogel in Yanein. The Gemara starts by quoting a brisa in the name of Nachum Amadai, and he allows you She'elas Tzrachav B'Shomea Tefillah. So you have your personal petition and you integrate it into the bracha of Shomea Tefillah, means into the fabric of Shemoneh Esrei itself.
Excuse me. I slipped a piece of paper
right
in your notes.
Yeah.
Did you make it in Ilu Nishamat?
Oh, right. Yeah, so this year is Le'ilu Nishmot Miriam Ben Tzvi. Miriam Batzvi, okay. We'll make that correction so we don't make this mistake again. Okay, and Esther Rivka Bat Ben Zion Halevi. Okay then? Then we have the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer's Shita is that She'elas Tzrachav is allowed before Tefillah, Shoel Adam Tzrachav the Achakach Yispalel, and he bases it on a pasuk in Tehillim, Tefillah Li'ani Kiyatov V'Lifnei Hashem Yishpoch Sicho. So Lifnei Hashem Yishpoch Sicho is a reference to Shmoneh Esrei, to Tefillah, because Ein Sicho L'Tefillah, and his personal petition comes before that. That's the Tefillah Li'ani. Rabbi Yoshua says, no, just the opposite is true. First Yispalel, and then V'Achakach Yishol Tzrachav. Only afterwards is he allowed to put forward his personal petition, and he quotes a different pasuk in Tehillim. Shenemar Eshpoch Lefanai Sichi, which is a reference to Tefillah, and then Tzarasi Lefanov Agid. The Gemara then goes on and quotes a drasha of Rav Simloi, which appears here in Avodah Zarah and also in Masechta Brachos. Li'olam Yisadir Adam Shvacho Shel Makom V'Acharkach Yispalel. That first a person should present the praise to Hashem, and then only afterwards he should be mispalet. Minayin, and that we derive from Moshe Rabbeinu. The Torah says in Parshas Vayeschanan, Moshe says, Hashem Elokim atah chilosa laharos es avdecha, es godlecha, etc. And then uksiv basrei, evrona v'eres ha'oretz hatova. Then he puts forward his tefillah. Rabbi Yeshua saw this on the top of Daf Ches Amud Aleph, Yalfinan mi Moshe, and therefore Rabbi Yeshua is of the opinion that first he comes tefillah, and Rabbi Elazar says lo yalfinan mi Moshe. Chachamim omrim, as we saw in Rav Nachum Amadi, Shoel Adam Tzrachav B'Shomea Tefillah. He integrates his She'elas Tzrachim into the bracha of Shomea Tefillah, into the fabric of Shemoneh Esrei itself. Then the Gemara quotes a Man D'Omar that you can add your bakasha to the end of each one of the brachos of Shemoneh Esrei, of the Emtzoyos, whichever one is appropriate. That's where you put it. So this whole sugya in Avodah Zarah is very strange. What difference does it make where you ask your tzrachim? Should it be before Shmoneh Esrei, like Rabbi Elazar? Should it be after Shmoneh Esrei, like Rabbi Yeshua? Should it be like the Chachamim, integrated into the fabric of Shmoneh Esrei? What is underlying this whole sugya here? What is bothering the Gemara? Ma'inaf gemina, what difference does it make whether he asks his tzrachim before tefillah, in tefillah, after tefillah? What are they batting about? What are they arguing about? The whole sugya is what I would call a sugya amuma. You know, it's just a closed book. And we want to add another question here, which is the second source on your page. If you take a look in Brachos, Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Aleph, and you count up 8 lines from the bottom of the page, Lamed Aleph Amud Aleph. If you have the Maror Makomos page, it's always Kedai, because I'm going to be following very carefully the order of the Maror Makomos. So you already know before I open my mouth what I'm going to talk about next. Yachal Yishal Adam Tzrachov V'Acher Kach Yispalel. Person might think that She'elas Tzrachov can come before Tefillah, which in fact we saw in Avodah Zarah is one day, the day of Rabbi Lozor. But here the Gemara rejects Rabbi Lozor. Gemara says Kvar Mefurash Ayidei Shlomo. We have a Pasuk in Mishlei L'Shmoel Arina V'El HaTefillah. And the Gemara says, Rina Zut Tfila. When it says Lishmala Rina, it refers to Tfila. And then afterwards, then comes Tfila, then comes Yosheilas Tzrochim. So again, it's a little confusing here, but if you remember the equation between Rina and Tfila, then Lishmala Rina means Tfila has to come first. And then what Shlomo Mel calls tefillah is what we call bakoshas tzrochim. So tefillah has to come first, and only afterwards bakoshas tzrochim. Again, reflecting the sheet of Rabbi Yeshua, that bakoshas tzrochim needs tefillah first.
Doesn't it seem strange that you would say that Rina means tefillah and tefillah means bakosha? When you say tefillah means tefillah and Rina means bakosha?
Good, because the Gemara is pushing for the fact that you need tefillah first.
Yeah, I know, but I like to interpret it that way. I mean,
okay.
It says tefillah, so why should I say tefillah instead of the other?
Good. But what I want to call your attention to here is why tefillah has to come first. Now, if you look in Rashi, there in Brachos Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Aleph, Rashi says, it's 5 lines before the end of the page, Yachal Yishal Tzrachov, says Rashi Kigon Birchos Atachonen Ad Shomer Tefillah, meaning all the brachos emtzayos, which are the bakashos. The Acherkach Yispalel Gimel Brachos Rishonos. In other words, the Gemara according to Rashi is addressing a person who switches around the entire Seder of Tefillah Shmoneh Esrei. Instead of beginning with the Gimel Rishonos, and then going on to the Emtzoyos, the Bakoshos, he switches it around. And he leaves the Bakoshos, he gives first preference to the Bakoshos, and leaves the Shevach, the Gimel Rishonos, for the end of Shmoneh Esrei. And that's a pella that the Gemara has a havamina that you can do such a thing, and the Gemara needs to quote a pasuk, Lishmola Rina Vela Tefillah, Lafuki, to exclude such a havamina. I mean, Tosis in Brachas on Daf Lamed Daled says that if you switch the order of any of the Emtzoyos, you are Meshanami Matbeah Shetovu Chachomim, and you're not Yotze Tefillah. So to say that I can take the Gimel Rishonos and place them at the end of Tefillah, that's a pella.
I thought Rashi was saying just something different. He was saying that You have to say Kaseder like you were going to, but if you want to say Bakoshis at the end, Bakoshis always have to be preceded by Shevach, so you have to say the three brachas first.
Excellent. But again, it's if you read Rashi and he says that you could put the Shevach at the end, and he's talking about the Gimel brachas or Rishonos.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, you know, my kamash from Pshita. That for sure would undermine your whole tefillah. You don't need a pasuk in Shlomo HaMelech for that. In any event, I mentioned to you earlier that my Rebbe Rav Soloveitchik has a drasha that he gave on the yard side of his father, which is Gimel Shvat, many, many years ago. And I'm going to now try to present to you his main thesis in my language. If I could only do justice to what he's saying, you know, Zes Chari Mikol Amoli, I'd be very happy. So I don't claim to be able to do that. He says the following. The mitzvah of tefillah teaches us two things. First, that a person is obligated to come close to Hashem with tefillah, to mivakesh his tzrachim, lishpoch sicho, to pour out his heart in front of the Ribono Shel Olam. But the second thing that we learn in Hilchos Tefillah, and this is fundamental, is that who is man to have the chutzpah to come in front of the Melech Malchei Amlochim, which with his personal bakoshos, man who is mortal, he's here today, he's gone tomorrow, he is standing in front of the great king, the king of kings. Tefillah is a great gift that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to man. B'chesed HaGadol. But a person has to understand how and when he's allowed to enjoy the benefits and utilize and implement that great gift. In the language of the Rav, he writes the following. Rabbi Gnack told me that this is the Rav's own pen. I don't know. I have doubts about it, but that's what Rabbi Gnack told me. He says, Halacha kav'a masmirim, the halacha determines, ki tzarech adam heter, a person needs permission in order to daven, and that permission talui ach v'rak v'mizgeret matbea shel tefillah. The only permission that a person has to daven is within the framework that was created by the Chachamim of Shmon Esrei with all its halachos. Asur lizok el Hashem mibli lishtamesh b'tzuras tefila u'mizgarta. We are enjoined from crying out to Hashem without using the formal structure of tefila and its framework. And the Rav goes on to say that this is the whole sugya in Masechta Avodah Zarah. How does a person jump in front of the Ribono Shel Olam, the Melech Malchei Amlochim, with his own personal bakoshes tzrachim, if he doesn't have the heter of the framework of tefillah of Shmon Esrei? And therefore, Rabbi Yoshua says that first a person should daven, and then only afterwards yishpoch sicho. Once he's already standing in front of the Ribono Shel Olam with the framework of tefillah, then the floodgates, so to speak, are open. He can come forward with his individual personal plea and petition and put that forward to the Melech Malchei Amlochim. Rabbi Eliezer, on the other hand, holds the exact opposite. Once a person is already davened, he no longer has a right to add his own personal bakasha, as if to imply that the matbeah of tefillah that was established by Chazal is not sufficient. And therefore, only before he davens is he allowed in the context of tefillah to, so to speak, give his own personal introduction to tefillah. And the Chachamim say, on the contrary, there's no heter to put forward your personal bakasha not before tefillah, nor after tefillah. You can only inject your personal bakasha, your tchina, within the mizgeret, within the tchum of tefillas Shmon Esrei as it was formulated by Chazal. So to summarize, in a word, tefillah needs a matir. That's the lomdische sprache. And without that matir, it's a ha'azas ponim on the part of mortal man, flesh and blood, to come forward with his own tefillah. And again, this is a very radical conclusion. You know, if you're a Hasidish Yid, you know, this might rub you the wrong way. You have to be a real litvak to appreciate this. You know, there's a halachic framework, and only within that mizgeret is a person permitted to be mavakesh his own tzrachim prati and his own individual needs. And therefore, let's go back to the Gemara that we mentioned on Daf Lamed Aleph, Lamed Aleph, Yachal Yishal Adam Tzrachav V'Achakach Yispalel. The way the Rav wants to interpret this Gemara, it's not the way Rashi understood it, is that a person might think he can come forward with his own personal bakasha before davening. And that indeed, as we saw, is the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer, but this Gemara is holding not like that. Before davening, you have no matir to ask your personal tzrachim. And therefore you have to wait till after tefillah. And if you look at the next source on your page, which is the third wide line on Daf Chav Tes Amid Beis, the Gemara records a machlokas tanoim regarding the nusach of a tefillah ktsara. A person doesn't have the ability to daven a full Shmona Esrei. He's holech b'makom sakana. So Rabbi Yeshua says that, and this is in the Mishnah on Chav Chesam and Beis, is mispal tefillah ktsara. The Omer Hoshea as Amcha Yisrael, as Sheris Yisrael, Bechol Parshas Ha'ibur, Yiyu Tzracheim Lefanecha. And the Gemara in Chav Tesam and Beis quotes a Braisa, and there's a Machlokas Tanoim, what exactly is the Nusach of the Tefillah Ktsara? Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Asei Ritzoncha Bashamayim Imal, Baruch Ata Hashem Shomea Tefillah. Rabbi Yeshua Omer, Shema Shavas Amcha Yisrael, Vasei Mehera Bakashosom, Baruch Ata Hashem Shomea Tefillah. Rabbi Lozer, Rabbi Tzadik Omer, Shema Tzakas Amcha Yisrael, Vasei Mehera Bakashosom, Baruch Ata Hashem Shomea Tefillah. Achirim Omer, Tzorche Amcha Yisrael Merubim, Vidaitom Ktsara. Yiratzim lefanecha Hashem Elokeinu shetitein lechol echad v'echad kidei parnasoso ulchol gviu gviu dei machsora omer avhuna halacha kachirin. And the Rav asks, what is going on in this Gemara? Five different shitos about what is the nusach of this bracha ktsara, and we barely are able to understand or discern the differences between the various nuschos. Says Rav, the answer is, this whole sugya is based on one premise, that without the matbea shel tefillah, without the mizgeret that was formulated by Chazal, what heter does a person have to put forward his personal tefillah? And therefore there should be an isur of tchilo bakosha at this moment. And in fact, if we go through the shitos, we'll see that the first shita is Rabbi Eliezer, Asei Ritzoncha Bashamayim Imal, which basically means that there is no heter to ask for your own personal needs. Asei Ritzoncha Bashamayim, let your will, O God, be fulfilled. It's kind of like Yiskadol v'Yiskadol Shmei Rabba. It's not a personal tefillah. And then, after you get by the chumrah of Rabbi Eliezer, and we loosen our belt a little bit, there's a little bit more of a leniency, other Tanoim allow you to say, Shema Shavas Amcha Yisrael. Not my personal prayer because, you know, I'm surrounded by lions in the lion's den. No. Shomea Tefillah Shavas Amcha Yisrael. Listen to the cry of the people of Israel. The Acherim went a little bit further. They were even more permissible. And they were matir to be mavakesh parnosas kol echad v'echad. Parnosaya means the life, to sustain the life of every single individual. But basically, none of the various matbeos here, of any of the Tanoim, in regard to Tefillah Ktsara, allow you carte blanche to stand up in front of the Ribbono Shel Olam and pour out your heart and say, God save me, I'm in such a difficult, dangerous situation. And you talk about Tzarchei Amcha Merubin, which is the most liberal one, you know, take care of every individual, but you never actually put forward your personal plea. And the answer is because this tefillah k'tzara is outside the framework of Shmon Esrei. It's not the matbeya shetavu chachamim, the mizgeret shel tefillah, and therefore it's a chutzpah on the part of man to stand in front of the Ribbono shel Olam and put forward his plea. And therefore we're very restrictive about the nature and the scope of this tefillah k'tzara. Ultimately, the matir, which the Rav doesn't say it, but I think this is what he has in mind, the matir for this tefillah k'tzara is sakana. So it's really, technically it might be prohibited, but what can we do? We're in a situation of danger. We have no choice. Our last resort is to thrust our reliance on Hashem and present this tefillah to Hashem, this bakasha. But even so, we have to do it in a very restricted sort of way. And now the Rav wants to shed a light, and this you'll see in the next of the Mar Makomos, on a strange Gemara in Rosh Hashanah Daf Yud Zayin Amid Beis. The Gemara darshins the pasuk in Shmos Perek Lamed Dalet. It says, "Vayavar Hashem al panav vayikra." Omer Rabbi Yochanan, il mole mikra kasuvi efsholi omro. Melamed shenis atef Hakadosh Baruch Hu kishliach tzibur. Veherol ol Moshe seder tefila. Omer lo calls man she Yisrael chotim yasu lefanai kiseder azeh vani mochel lahem. In a word, the Gemara needs a special pasuk to establish this tefillah, which is really the Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim. This is the essence of our slichos that we recite during the days of slichos, before Rosh Hashanah, during Aser Simei Tshuva. So why do we need a special melamed shenisatev HaKadosh Baruch Hu to go ahead and set up the Seder Hazeh, the Seder of Slichos? Couldn't we daven our own Slichos simply because these are the days of Slichos? And the answer is, what's unique about Slichos? It's not within what? It's not within the mizgeret of tefillah. And if it's not within the mizgeret of tefillah, as the Rambam writes in Perek Gimel Milchas Tshuva, Nagu kulam lakum belaila biasar yomim elu ulispalel bebatei knesios bedirei tachnunim ad sheyoyer hayom. Rabosai, when the Rambam says we wake up at night, obviously it doesn't fit into any one of our tefillos. It's too late for Mayriv, we've already davened Mayriv. It's too early for Shachris because it's Ad Sheyoyer Hayom. And we're coming to the Beis HaKnesses with Divrei Tachnunim. Says Rav Soloveitchik, what heter is there for Divrei Tachnunim outside the framework of Shmon Esrei? And the answer is, the Gemara has to derive the heter from a special pasuk which teaches us that it was Moshe Rabbeinu who learnt, who was instructed about the slichos directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that means that the need of tshuva and slicha somehow circumvents the requirement, what trumps the requirement of a matbeah shel tefillah. And now the Rav goes even a step further. And this is the most radical position I've ever seen. He says, not only does one's own personal, individual, she'elas tzrochim, require a matir, but the Rav wants to prove that even tefillah itself requires a matir. That even to daven Shmona Esrei itself is not so simple, because again, we're going in front of the Ribbono Shel Olam. And that's what the Gemara says in Avodah Zarah, as we saw before, that Rabbi Yeshua holds like Rav Simlai, who derives from Moshe Rabbeinu, she is sader shvacho shel makom v'achar kach yispalel. The tefillah itself, in its own framework, contains a built-in matir. What is the built-in matir? The Gimel Rishonos. The first three brachos allow us to continue with the 13 emtsayos, which are tchina bakasha. It's only after we've fulfilled the dictum taught us by Moshe Rabbeinu of yisader shvachum shel makom, then and only then achar kach yispalel bebakasha ubetchina. And that's what Rashi says. Shalosh brachos rishonos, avos, gvuros, ukdush sashem, ein bem tfila el shevach. That's what Rav Simloy was referring to when he said, yisader shvachos shel makom, and then vi acharkach, yispalel bishara brachos, bidivrei tchina utfila. Shevach is matir bakasha. And now the Rav wants to go a step further. What's the matir for Shevach? How does the Rav know that Shevach, praising Hashem itself, requires a heter? From the Gemara Megillah, Daf Yud Ches, the next source on your page. The Gemara says, V'chimi acher d'meir v'yeshim z'kedim, u'mihem kam neviim, tiknu tefila, ala seder. Yishimen apakuli, my histir. So the Gemara says, Shachum v'chazu v'sidram, mikan v'yelech, asur l'saper b'shvacho shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Gemara establishes that for man to praise God, that itself is prohibited. The Omer Rabbi Lazar, my dechsiv, mi yemalel gvuras Hashem, who is able to enunciate the greatness and the glory of Hashem, Yashmiya kol tehilaso? Can he respond with all the tehillah, all the praise that's possible? Can he reach the maximum? L'mi noel l'malo gvuras Hashem? Who is appropriate for the person, the representative, to sing the praises, the greatness of Hashem? It's only l'mi sheyochel Yashmiya kol tehilaso. The pasuk requires kol tehilaso. Omar Rabba Bar Rav Huna, Omar Rav Yochanan, Hamesaper b'shvach shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu nekar min ha'olam. Why? Because the pasuk says Hayisuper lo ki adaber im Omar ish ki yivla Dorish Rav Simla ish kvar gvura v'yamir le ish kvar gibar. May dechsiv lecha dumia tehila. David HaMelech says we should be quiet, we should be silent with regard to praise. Sama de kula mishtuka. The Gemara in Brachos tells us that it was an individual who started praising Hashem, and after he used every single adjective and every description, he finally sat down. So the Gemara attacked him. Ad kan? That's enough? There's no more praise that you can heap upon Hashem? Is maybe it's better not to start than to start and not be able to finish. It's almost chas v'shalom an insult to HaKadosh Baruch Hu when you sing His praises, when you enunciate His shevach, and you're not allowed, and you're not able, you're not capable of doing the whole job. Better not to start than to do a half-baked job. Therefore, says Rav Soloveitchik, we understand very well the Gemara on Daf Lamed Aleph Amid Aleph here in Brachos, which is the next source on your page. It's the last line before the bottom wide lines on the page. And the Gemara says, Yochel Yispal Adam Kol Yom Kulo? Maybe a person wants to daven the whole day? Kfar Mefurish Al Yidei Daniel V'Zimnin Tlasa? The maximum number of tefilos that Hashem allows us is 3 tefilos. The heter is based on the establishment of an obligation to tefillah 3 times a day. And here I want to learn with you the Rush in the 3rd parak of Brachos. It's a very, very long Rush, Siman Tesvav. First he quotes, the halach is like Rabbi Yochanan, that you can daven in a case of Safek without even having to add a chiddush b'davar.
Where's the
Rush? The Rush, again, if you have the same print as me, it's page Lamed. I think I wrote it out on the Maromakomos page. And that is Simon Tesvav. It's again a very long siman. We're only going to focus on part of it. And again, if you happen to have the same tzuris hadaf that I have, on the left column, towards the bottom, three lines up from the bottom, for Rav Haigo and Zal Kosav, Tehod Yomer Rav Yochanan, Halavaish Yispal Adam Kol Yom Kulo, Hainu Daf Kol Yidei Chidush, Abba Below Chidush Asur. We need some sort of a matir to allow a person to daven more than the three tefillos that he's obligated to daven. And the Rush quotes, again, we're fast-forwarding about six lines, over to page Lamed Aleph. He quotes Rabbeinu Yonah. Do you have it? About seven lines down from the top of Lamed Aleph. Yochol Yispal Kol Kolayom Kulo Kvar Mefurish Adei Doniel V'Zimnin Tlosa B'Yoma, three times a day. Devadai Lo Komi Boileim Chovash Yispal Adam Kolayom Kulo. There was never a hava mina that a person would daven more than three times a day as a tefilas chova. Ela b'tefilas reshus kami boile. The Gemara is going back and forth about whether or not he can go beyond the three tefilos that he's obligated to be yispalel. Ve'heshiv lo delo yispalel a gimel piyamim. And therefore, says Rabbeinu Yonah, Rav Haigon is correct when he assumes that when Rabbi Yochanan allows you lispal kol yom kulo, that only applies vade Rabbi Yochanan lo kamar elahecha shemechadish badavar. The heter to go beyond the number three and offer a tefilas reshus, which is a chutzpah, is only to be mechadish badavar. So a tefilas chova beyond the three is absolutely permitted. A tefilas reshus, or what we call tefilas nedava, after three is permissible, but only on the condition that what? That he adds a chiddush b'davar, and that justifies his own tefila as a tefilas reshus. Says the Rav that the reason why a tefilas nedavar requires chiddush badavar is because although there is an entity of tefila even beyond the three chiyuv, you know, the chiyuv of three, but that tefila requires something special to change it into a new entity. But says the Rav, when we say that we're changing the entity of tefila in the case of a tefilas reshus, and the heter, the license to add this tefila, is because he's adding his own chiddush badavar, the Rav says the following: has anything changed in the matbeah shel tefila? The matbeah shel tefila is deficient. He says no. As far as the tefillah itself is concerned, a chiddush badavar doesn't change the matbeah shel tefillah. The matbeah shel tefillah remains the same identical matbeah shel tefillah. The chiddush badavar is halach in the gavra, so to speak, not in the heft of tefillah and the matbeah shel tefillah, that the gavra needs netilas reshus. He needs a heter. And without this heter, he doesn't have the right to be mispalel. Normally, in the case of the first three tefillos, which are obligatory, the matir is a result of the fact that the chachamim established the chiyuv, that the gavra is obligated to daven three times. Again, he shouldn't daven out of a sense of chova, as we discussed last time. But the chova that's imposed on the gavra allows him to be mispalel. And that's Shachris Mincha Meirif. However, now he wants to add another tefillah, a tefillas reshus. Well, he needs some sort of a matir. Without a matir, he's not allowed to be mispalel a tefillas reshus. And the Rush is telling us that that's what the Gemara means, that if you want to daven above and beyond the three tefillas of chova, you have to make a certain change. Again, not a change in the matbeah shel tefillah, but a change of chiddush davar, which allows a person, since he has his own personal bakasha, to ask about something that he needs that's not reflected in the standard nusach of tefillah, meaning of the Tfilas Chova, that Sorech, that need that he has, which is called Chirish Badavar, is what gives him permission to offer another Tfilah, namely a Tfilas Rishus. And therefore, to quote the Rav, he says, Chirish Badavar lo nemar betzuras ha-tfilah b'madbeah shel tfilah, ki im, but rather in the halach of Netilas Rishus. So again, just let's just summarize what we've been saying so far. Number one, bakashas tzrachim on a personal, individual level outside the misgeres of tefillah needs a matir, and the Gemara in Avodah Zarah presents three or maybe four different opinions amongst the Tanoim as to what that matir is. Number two, we said that not only does bakashas tzrachim require a matir, but even tefillah ktsara requires a matir, because that too is outside the misgeret of tefillah. And that matir, we said, is very limited. The nusach doesn't really allow you to pour out your heart with your personal individual tchina and bakasha. Number three, we said that in the slichos, we are involved in a seder tefillah, which is outside the framework of tefillah, and therefore it needs a special matir, which is derived from the pasuk Vayavar Hashem al Ponav Vayikra, and the matir is tshuva. And then we said that not only does a personal tefillah outside of the framework of Shmoneh Esrei require a matir, but tefillah itself requires a matir. And that's Rav Simlai, who establishes that the first three brachos, namely Shevach, that's a matir for the emtsoyos of Tchinu Bakasha. But then we said, based on the Gemara Megillah, who allows you to be Meshameach HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Mi Yamal El Gvuras Hashem, Yashmiya Kol Tehillah. So nobody has that ability. And therefore we are enjoined even from Shevach. And the answer is that Shevach is only permitted exactly the way the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah formulated it, the 120 Zkenim that created the Matbeah of Tefillah, Hakel, Agibar, Vanora, that's what we're allowed to say. And the Hetter to recite that is the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah establishing that tefillah. And now that Shevach becomes a Hetter for the rest of the balance of Shmoneh Esrei, the Emtsoyos, the Bakoshos of Shmoneh Esrei. And if a person needs a matir for a tefillas chova, that means three times a day, the Gemara derives from Daniel on Daf Lamed Aleph from an Aleph that there's no heter to go beyond the three times a day. Says the Rush in the name of Rav Haigon that that's as far as the Tfilas Chov is concerned. Chov as a matir is only thrice a day. However, if you want to add a fourth Shmoneh Esrei, you need another matir, and that's going to be Tfilas Nedava, Tfilas Rishus, which requires the matir of Chirish Badavar, which means that I have a personal need. And just like in the case of Sakana we saw a matir, and in the case of Tshuva and Slichos we had a matir, so too there's a matir on a regular ongoing basis of Tfilas Nedava if he's Mechadish Badavar. Not to change the Tzures HaTfilah, the Matbeah on Tfilah, but to ask Hashem for permission to put forward a new kind of bakasha that's not included in the standard text of the Shmoneh Esrei.
How does that matir? Is it in the middle of a thing? How does he get where is the matir to allow him to start it?
He says that the halacha of tefillas nedava is based on a matir. You're asking what's the source for that? So that you have to know the sugya later on of tefillas keneged karbanos tiknu. But he doesn't touch on it here in this particular shir. He does add another point that according to Rabbi Yochanan, and that's how the Rosh Paskins, there's another matir of tefillah even without Chirish Badavar, and that's the case of Suffolk. The very fact that a person is besuffolk and he doesn't know, did he fulfill his chova, Shema Yispalel, Shema Lo Yispalel, that itself is a matir, and therefore in a case of Suffolk, he's permitted to daven. But all this means license and permission. We need permission to daven. We need permission when it's outside the misgeret of tefillah. The misgeret of tefillah itself is a matir. And in the case of Tfilas Nedava, we need a special matir that operates through the mechanics of what? Of Chiddush Badavar. And then the Rav says, which really clinches this whole approach, that if you look in the Mishnah, in Brachos Daf Chav Ches Amid Beis, Rabbi Lazar Omer, Ha'ose Tfilaso Keva Ain Tfilaso Tachnunim, and the Gemara asks on Chav Tes Amid Beis, my Keva. Now Rabosai, we're not talking about a Tfilas Nedava here. We're talking about every single Tfilah, including a Tfilas Chova. And Rabbi Lazar rejects a Tfilas Keva, says Rab and Rav Yosef, what's a Tfilas Keva? The Amrit Ravayu, Kol Sheini Yochel L'Chadish Badavar. Unbelievable, says the Rav, that Rab and Rav Yosef hold that even a Tfilas Chova needs a Matir, a Chiddush Davar. The obligation itself is not sufficient to engender permission, Netilas Rishus and a Matir. Ein adam mispalel kodem shebiyado lechadish mashu. Just to repeat the standard nusach of Shmon Esrei, you know, ad nauseum, that's not mutter. That wasn't included in the heter. Even a tefilas chova needs a matir, according to Rabban Rav Yosef, and that's Chiddush Badavar. We don't accept the sheet of Rabban Rav Yosef. La halacha, we don't paskin like that. We don't require a Chiddush Badavar in every tefillah, only in the tefillahs nedava beyond the three. However, the Rav wants to understand, even those who reject Rabban Rav Yosef in the sugya, in Brachos Daf Chav Tes Amid Beis, they also agree that fundamentally tefillah needs a matir. They don't argue, they don't reject the very fundamental premise that underlies Rab and Rav Yosef. They don't go as far as Rab and Rav Yosef to require a Chiddush Badavar, but they do require a matir. And the Rav wants to know, so what is the matir? Before he suggested that the Chova was the matir, but now the Rav is suggesting that apparently from Rab and Rav Yosef we see that even the Chova itself is not sufficient as a matir. And even those who reject Rabbi and Rav Yosef and don't require Chiddush Badavar, they allow you to repeat over and over again, three times a day, the standard Nusach of Shmona Esrei without a Matir. The answer is that there's something that comes before Tefillah as a Matir. And here we open up to the Mishnah, which is the next source on your page, at the very beginning of Perek Ein Omdim. And that is Brachos Daf Lamed Amid Beis. Ein Omdim Lispalel Ela Mitoch Kovid Rosh. Let's look at the Mishnah again. Chasidim Rishonim Ayishoim Sha'achas. They waited, they contemplated and prepared themselves for tefillah for a full hour. Kidei Sheichavnu Libam Lavim Shebashamayim. And if you fast forward to Daf Lamed Aleph Amid Aleph, the Gemara asks the question by quoting a Braisa, what is the introduction to Tefillah? We're not able necessarily to wait an hour and prepare ourselves with contemplation, with meditation for an hour. But the Braisa says the following. That's about 10 lines down from the top of the page. Actually, 18 lines. Yeah, Tana Rabbanan and Bryce. You have it? Ein omdim lispalel lo mitoch din velo mitoch tvar halacha el mitoch halacha psuka. That's one Bryce. That we don't stand up to daven in all these, shall we say, mental states when we're involved in something. Just one second, that's not the part that I wanted to point out to you. Just one second. Oh, 18 lines down, sorry. Tana Rabbanan, Ein omdim lispalel, lo mitoch atzvus, velo mitoch atzlus, velo mitoch schok, velo mitoch sicha, velo mitoch kalus rosh, velo mitoch tvarim betelim, elo mitoch simcha shel mitzvah. Tosu says, what's Simcha Shal Mitzvah? Take a look. Tosfos Dibur Maskil Rabbanan. A mispalel mitoch simcha shel mitzvah kagon sha'osek b'divrei Torah v'lachein nagu lomar psukei dezimra, that's in Shachris, v'ashrei kodem tefillah. Says the Rav, what is this requirement of psukei dezimra, which Tosfos calls Asek b'divrei Torah, because again we're reading Suvim or Ashrei before Mincha. Why are we involved in reading Tehillim before we stand up to Davin? And of course, in the context of everything we're discussing, the answer is going to be what? A Matir. We need a Matir. And what is the nature of this Matir, which the Braisa calls Mitoch Simcha? Some have the gears of Simcha Shal Mitzvah. And the Rav calls our attention to Rashi here, which is a little bit lower on the page. El Mitoch Simcha Kigon Divrei Tanchumim. It's very interesting. Rashi speaks about Tanchumim. He'll repeat himself a second time in the same Rashi a few lines later. Tanchumim means Hashem, we rely on you. You've come through in the past for the sake of Klal Yisrael. You are the reliable one. That's a great Tanchumin. That's a great consolation. Because God, you're the only one. We have no one else to rely on. And here Rashi says, Kigon, Smoch L'Geulas Mitzrayim, or Samoch L'Geulas Mitzrayim, or Samoch L'Tehila L'David, he's referring to Mincha now, Shehu Shel Shevach. Please underline those two words, Shel Shevach V'Tanchumin. The Rav identifies Shevach and Tanchumin as two sides of a coin. Kigon, and in Tehila L'David, where's the Shevach Shel Tanchumin? Ritzon Yireyav Yaseh, Shomer Hashem Es Kol Ohavav. Ukigon, and what about in the case of Meiriv, Rashi says, okay, for Chutzlarts it's okay, Kilo Yitosh Hashem is Amo, God doesn't forsake His people. These are all Shevach Shel Tanchumim. And here the Rav formulates the key sentence for our purposes. What is the Matir of Tefillah? And the Rav says, the Matir of Tefillah, and I'm quoting, is Sidur Tehilos V'Tishpachos Shebekisvei HaKodesh. By organizing and reciting Tilos V'Tishpachos of Tanakh, that itself is a Pe'ulas HaMatir as an introduction to give us license to be mispalel. Meaning, according to Rav Soloveitchik, this whole discussion in the Gemara Daf Lamed Aleph is not about the proper attitude or mindset that's appropriate, it's good preparation, like the Hasidim Rishonim. It's much more fundamental. We're not just talking about putting yourself in the right frame of mind. What we're talking about is knocking on the door, so to speak, of the Melech Malchei Hamlochim. How do we go about knocking on the door so Hashem, the King, will open the door for us? And the answer is, Rashi says we need Tanchumim Shel Torah. We need Shevach V'Tanchumim. That Sidur Tehilos V'Tishbachos through Kisvei HaKodesh is what's going to allow us to come in front of the Ribbono Shel Olam. In the Rav's language, Amida L'Spalel Miskayemes Acharei Sha'osei Ka'odom B'Tehilos V'Tishbachos. Ein Amiras Shiros V'Tishbachos Ha'gorim L'Matzav Ruach, to put a person in the right frame of mind. Elo etzem hartzoas divrei shevach hu kiyum shel matir. And this fascinated my mind. The Rav uses the term kiyum shel matir, which means that the Rav elevates the concept of matir to a kiyum. I would make a big deal about this. I mean, you might wonder why am I shtelling on this, but I think it's very important. You know, we talk about the kiyum of tefillah. And we talk about asking permission to be mispalel, but the Rav is now saying that that very procedure, that process of asking for permission, is itself a matir. I'm sorry, is itself a kiyum. It's an entity unto itself. Again, it's a funny kind of concept, because the only reason for that kiyum matir is in order to introduce, to permit me to daven. So it's not a kiyum that exists independent of tefillah. It doesn't have its own 2 feet to stand on, but yet at the same time, paradoxically, the Rav calls it a kiyum. And the Rav wants to suggest that in the context of Rav Simlai's drasha that we saw back in Avodah Zarah Daf Yud Ches, so some brachas daf lamid beis, we all of yisader ocham adam shvachom shal mokom v'achakach yispalel, that it's only shvachom shal mokom that is a matir, an introduction that allows us license to daven. The Rav wants to say, within the context of Rav Simlai's drasha, psukei de zimra is the matir, and for this he quotes the Rif in Perek Ein Omdim, on this sugi at the beginning of the fifth Perek. If you want to take a look for a moment, I don't think it's on Yomar Makomos page, but the Rif is on page Chaf Gimel Amid Aleph, in the Dape Arif. And you can just simply count down 6 lines from the top of the page, Chaf Gimel Amid Aleph, 23a. You have it?
Yeah, okay.
He says the following.
6 lines down from the top?
6 lines down from the top. Okay, we're on Chaf Gimel Amid Aleph in the Rif. 6 lines down from the top. You have it, Yehuda?
Yeah, the Olam, Rav Simlai.
Yeah. We're going to speak about Rav Simlai. His drasha is, quoted by the Rif, Li'olam Yisayder Adam Shvachu Shalmok V'Akach Yispalil Minolan Mi Moshe Tichsiv Hashem Elokim Atah Chilosa, and then it says Ebrana V'Era. But the Rif doesn't stop here. Not only do we require Shvach before Tefillah, that's derived in Rav Simlai from Moshe Rabbeinu, but he says the Gemara in the first Perek of Brachos on Daf Dalet Amud Beis, Amar Ablozer Bar Vavina Kala Omer Tehila LeDavid Bichol Yom Shalosh Piyamim Muftach Lo Shu Olam Abba. Now we're talking about Ashrei, and the Rav sees in the fact that the Rif presents these memories, which are scattered throughout Shas in contiguous order, it's all part of one concept. The Rif goes on. The Garcina beperikol kisvei hakodesh. This is Gemara in Shabbos. On Daf Kuf Yud Ches, the Gemara says, "Omar Rav Yosi yein chelki im gomrei halel b'chol yom." Now wait a minute. We don't recite halel mitzri every day. On the contrary, hakorei halel b'chol yom areizem achari from megadev. And the Gemara reinterprets the statement of Rav Yosi, that what does he mean, Yechelki im gomrei halel? Kika amrinon bipsuke dezimra amrinon. My ninu mitehilo leDavid ad kol aneshama ta'alka v'takinu leRabbanu leMeimra bracha mekamayu. The Gemara says, the Rif says, I'm sorry, that the Rabbanu made a takana to introduce the birchas, sorry, the psuke de zimra with a bracha lifanel, bracha masraya, bracha lachrea, my ninu, baruch shamar, v'yishtavach. Hilkach, mi boile le'inshi delo lishtuye, a person has to be very careful not to speak out and interrupt, michi maskel baruch shamar, ad misayim le lishmon esrei. So the Rav asks, what is this whole presentation in the Rif all about? And of course the answer is going to be the same as we've said over and over again, that tefillah needs a matir. And the Rif opens, introduces this discussion with Rav Simlai, that tefillah needs a matir. You can't just daven and put forth your petition. You need shevach. And shevach, shvacho shel makom, is the license, gives a person the right to be mispalel. And therefore the Rif adds the Ashrei, because Ashrei likewise is a Shevach HaKadosh Baruch Hu that's Matir Tefillah. And then the Rif adds Psukei de Zimra, that Psukei de Zimra is an entity unto itself as a matir for tefillah. And perhaps Rabosai we could add, and I hope it's not Kalamosif Korea here, that the reason why the Rif wants to emphasize that the Rabbanan established a bracha as an introduction to Psukei de Zimra, that's the bracha of Baruch Shamar, and a bracha at the end, bookends, you know, to close Psukei de Zimra, based on what we would medayik in the Rav's language, that there's such a thing called a kiyum shalmati, that ritzui tishbachos, and reciting the Psukei de Zimra is a kiyum. In order to identify that kiyum as a separate entity, the Rabbanan established a bracha lefaneh and a bracha lachreah. But then you might ask me, well, if this is in a sense a substitute for Hallel, well, Hallel Mitzri has a bracha of Asher Kitshanu Mitzvosa Vitzivanu. Whenever you have a kiyum, you make a bracha Asher Kitshanu Mitzvosa Vitzivanu. Why don't we have such a bracha on Psukei de Zimra? So I would say because the kiyum of Psukei de Zimra is a matir for tefillah. It's not a kiyum unto itself, meaning it is a kiyum, it's an entity, it's a pu'ula, it's an action, you know, we're knocking on the door and asking the king to allow us what's the word I'm looking for? An invitation, not an invitation, a entrance, but what's the word I'm looking for, Abosai? An audience, oh, that's the word, right? We're asking the king to allow us an audience. And that itself makes Psukei de Zimra as Ritzui Shemach v'Tishpachos an entity unto itself, the request for an audience. And even in modern society, you know, if you, even in Western countries, you want to get an audience with a very important political leader, you know, there's a whole process of filling out documents and sending it to the right people and getting it from one secretary up to the other secretary until finally, you know, the head of state gives the approval. That's a kiyum, and the process that we undergo in order to fill out those documents and get the final approval of the shtempel is Psukei de Zimra, and that process is upgraded and embellished when the Rabbanan are masakin a bracha lefaneh, a bracha lachreah, but those brachos are an integral part of the ritzui tishpachos of the matir itself. There's no birchas hamitzvah in this case because it's not a kiyum that's independent. It doesn't stand on its own two feet. And here the Rav says that if we analyze Rav Simloi properly, then we understand that Rav Simloi is really telling us two different things. Number one, he's saying that tefillah itself, meaning the matbea shel tefillah, the Yud Ches brachos of tefillah require a matir. And that matir are the first three brachos, the Shevach. And that itself is a matir of tefillah. And number two, as we saw in the Sugya of Avodah Zarah, forgetting about the Mizgeret of tefillah, but if a person wants to put forth his own personal bakasha, then he would require Shevach as well. And that's why Rabbi Yeshua says that it's only after Tefillah that a person could put forward his She'elas Tzrachim. Because since Tefillah contains within it a Shvacho Shel Makom in the Gimel Rishonos, after you've completed that entity of Tefillah, you've already been Mekayim Li'olam Chayav Adam L'Sad Shvachos V'Tishbachos, now he can put forward his own personal Tefillah. And the Rav says that, and here's the Chiddush, which will lead us back to our sugya on Daf Dalet Amud Beis, that within the context of this concept of matir, that tefillah requires a matir, there are two entities, each of which is a matir for tefillah. The first entity is Psukei de Zimra with Baruch Shomer and Yishtabach. The second entity is Kriyat Shema uBirchos Seah. Kriyat Shema uBirchos Seah Now let's just, I want to insert something of my own here. If you go back to the Rif that we started with, notice that the Rif warns you not to be mafsik b'dibur from when to when. From Baruch Shem until when? Till after Shmon Esrei. Why after Shmon Esrei? Yeah, you want to tell me don't be mafsik until after Birchas Yishtabach? That I understand. But until after Shmon Esrei, and I think perhaps the Rif takes on a shining light here in the context of the Rav's Chiddush here. The Rav wants to say that Psukim Zimra is only one part of the Matir. There's a second segment of that Matir, the second half of the Matir, and that's Amiras Kriyat Shema Ubirchosel. So the Matir will take me from Baruch Sha'amar until Gal Yisrael at the closing of Birchas Kriyat Shema. And he says the following, that Kriyat Shema Birchosel, in addition to being an entity unto itself, because obviously Kriyat Shema has its own independent status, and we already mentioned Rav Amram Gaon, who's of the opinion that it requires a Birchas HaMitzvah, although in certain cases we have a substitute for the Birchas HaMitzvah. But in addition, Kriyat Shema Birchosel plays another role and achieves another goal. He says, Kriyat Shema Nemeres B'toras Cheftza Shel Matir Mishum Shegam Ba. Even within Kriyat Shema, and certainly the brachas of Kriyat Shema, Anu Mesadrim Shvacho Shel Mokom. In other words, there's a Ritzui Shevach not only through Psukei Zimra, but there's a Ritzui Shevach Vodaya through Kriyat Shema U'Birchosea. You know, does Kriyat Shema U'Birchosea now serve, in addition to Psukei Zimra, as a matir for tefillah, because Kriyat Shema is one long shevach and shira to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I mean, that's a pretty radical statement. And again, the Rav goes on and on and on here with a whole shtickle Torah in Soto, which I can't even begin. This requires a shira unto itself. But if we can fast forward a little bit, the Rav says the following. He has three proofs that Psukei Zimra is a matir. Number one, his first proof is from the Agos Maimonios in Perek Zayin Milchus Tefillah, Os Nun, quoting one of the Gaonim, that says that you can only recite Psukei Zimra before Shmon Esrei. Avolomar Psukei Zimra Achar HaTefillah Lo. Dekodem HaTefillah Nitkenu. So the Rav says, I mean, Psukei Zimra as an entity is meaningful before tefillah, it's meaningful after tefillah. Why is it? And by the way, this sheet of the Gaonim is quoted, is codified by the Shulchan Aruch in Aruch Chaim Siman Nun Beis, that after tefillah, it's pointless to recite Psukei Zimra. Those who have the minhag to do so have to be very careful, very warned, not to recite the brachos of Yishtabach, of Baruch Shomer and Yishtabach. Okay, you know, there's nothing terrible or tragic about reciting Tehillim, but not with brachos. So the entity of Psukei Zimra, as we recognize it, is only feasible before tefillah, and not afterwards. Says the Rav, why? Lu artzos Psukei Zimra isamava kiyum shal halal v'shevach, kmo halal mitzri. Then the law of halal mitzri, which is codified by the Gemara, by the Mishnah in Megillah, is that you can recite Al the entire day, up until Shkia, till the end of the day. So why isn't Psukei Zimra as a Kiyum of Hallel, the daily Kiyum of Hallel, why doesn't it apply within the same framework, and I can fulfill it till the end of the day? Says the Rav Nein, because Psukei Zimra is not a separate independent Kiyum Hallel, and again, once again, I would add that it doesn't require Asher Kitchanim Mitzvos Tzivano like Hallel does, but rather it's an introduction to Tefillah. It's a Chalos Matir for Tefillah. And insofar as such, it is only meaningful before Tefillah. Number two, the Rav says, based again on Agos Maimonios, this time it's Perek Zayin Milchus Tefillah Os Ayin. He says, "Hamesaper ben yishtabech liyotzer or If he speaks out after the bracha of Yishtabach, before Berchas Kriyat Shema, Avera hi biyado. V'chozer alemi archei amulchama. You remember this Rashi? You know, who is it that's Yarei Rach Levav? If I remember correctly, Rashi says, based on this Hagos, I mean, it's not Hagos Miyonis, is after Rashi, but based on the same Yushalmi, that the sin that he's afraid of punishment by going out to the battle lines is that he was sach between Psukit Zimra and Birchas Kriyashma. Says the Rav, if Psukit Zimra is a separate kiyum unto itself, and certainly Birchas Kriyashma is a kiyum unto itself, why can't he be mafsik between the two? And the answer is that we integrate Psukit Zimra together with Birchas Kriyashma as one continuous entity, and it cannot be split into two. These two kiyume matir, so to speak, are integrated to form one whole. And if you separate, break up between the two, then they cannot function, or at least the first of the two, cannot function as a matir for tefillah. It's got to be conjoined and it's attached to tefillah. And finally, what we said before, this is a tremendous raya, that Psukit Zimra is not an entity unto itself, but rather it's a matir for tefillah, the fact that there's no Birchas HaMitzvah, Asher Kidshanu Mitzvos V'Tzivanu, on Psukit Zimra. And now we're ready to swing back to our sugya. And the Rav says that what is Smichus Gula Tefillah? The Rav says, again, the Hebrew here is very, very flashy, very poetic. I'll read it to you. He says, Halacha shel smichus gula tefillah mitmatzeit. I think he means identical with chovas sidur tishpachos lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu kodem tefillah vahartza zu matira es hamida lifnei Hashem. So the Rav is taking the word geula in the context of smichus gula tefillah in a much broader context. You know, I would have said geula means Hashem, you took us out of Mitzrayim. The Rav is saying, Hashem, you took us out of Mitzrayim is part and parcel. It's integrated into a whole woven beged, you know, a whole constellation of Shevach, which expresses itself in many different dimensions and points. But that's what we mean when we say Smichus Gula Tefillah. The Rav, in a sense, is willing to rewrite the text and call it Smichus Shevach Tefillah, which means that Shevach itself is a matir. So Geula L'tfilah really means Shevach. And in one case, for example, in Shachris, we'll have Smichus Geula L'tfilah in a literal sense. In the case of Mincha, we don't have that option. But again, it's still Smichus Geula L'tfilah, because Smichus Shevach L'tfilah, which is fulfilled through Ashrei. In other words, whereas in Shachris we have two matirim, both of which form a fabric, an entity called Shevach and Ritzui Tishbachos, in Mincha, we only have one matir, one entity of Ritzui Shevach v'Tishbachos. We drop the Birchas Kriyat Shema, but what we have is Ashrei. And here the Rav again tells us to look carefully in Rashi on Daf Dalet Amud Beis, and Rashi in the Smichus Gula Tefillah mentions this concept. He says, "Amrinan bebrachos biyushalmi misheino somek gula tefillah lemahu dome liovel shel melech sheba v'dafak al pischo shel melech." Rabosai, how would you rewrite the Yushalmi in the Rav's brisket terminology? What does it mean? Dafak al pischo shel melech. It's Netilas Rishus, it's a matir. Finally, you got the matir. And now, Yatza Melech, the Melech is willing to give you an audience. Umitso Shehiflig. And guess what? The man is not there. Says the Rav, what Rashi means to say is that the knocking on the door of the Melech, and Rashi calls it to be Miskarev El HaMelech, in the next line, is achieved through Ritzui Shevach V'Tishbachos. Yehei Odom Miskarev HaKadosh Baruch Hu Eilov Umaratzeu V'Tishbachos. Again, those two key words of Ritzui Tishbachos. And then Rashi adds, V'kilusim, specifically shel yitzias Mitzrayim. I think the Rav is reading it with a comma. Tishbachos and kilusim shel yitzias Mitzrayim. Because, again, the Rav sees smichus gula tefillah as all-encompassing, all sorts of shevach, and specifically kilusim shel yitzias Mitzrayim. And what do you gain? You gain an audience with the king, who is Karev Elov. And at that moment, Ba'odo Karev Elov, he's at, you know, crossing the threshold to sit in the audience of the king, then Yeshlo Litvoat Srachov, now he's ready and he's permitted to put forward his Tzrachim. That is Smichus Ke'ula L'tefillah. Oh, I got the hint. Okay. Okay, Rabosai, we'll stop here. Again, if I was even partially successful in exciting you 10% of what I'm excited about, I mean, it's just unbelievable how the Rav, you know, gives us a whole different perspective, sewing together so many loose ends and different sugyas, and finally swinging back to Smichus Gula Tefillah. What I'd like to finish up, again, we don't have another shiur this week, so again, I'm always forced to postpone it till next week, is to try to finish this very long piece by answering the question that we began with, and that is, how do we understand Rav Amram Gon, who insists in Arvis on wedging between Gula and Tefillah a Kaddish? And Rav Amram is Lashmeinon de lo beinin mismach gula tefillah. What is that all about? We haven't yet come to grips with that. We haven't faced the music. And again, keep in mind that Rav Amram Gon knows very well that Kriyat Shema comes first, and only after Kriyat Shema you daven tefillah. He's not accepting Rav Yeshua ben Levi hook, line, and sinker that tefillos be'emtza tiknum. So he agrees that la'alocha, we pass it like Rabbi Yochanan, that Kriyat Shema comes before Tefillah, but we don't need Smichus Gula Tefillah. And we're going to demonstrate that by inserting a Kaddish HaMafsik between Gula and Tefillah. That's something that we have to understand. And then we have to come back to understand Ashkivenu, why Ashkivenu is a Gula. Again, the only credit I give myself here is that I organized all of our Makomas for you, which the Rav, you know, the Rav has so much in front of him. I tried to, you know, present it to you in a logical way, giving you the possibility, the challenge of coming up with the Rav's Chidushim. I'm sure you all did, you know, without having, you know, heard the Shia.
I have a question.
Yeah.
First question is that early on, the Rav talked about that the halakha of Gula Tefillah is itself the matir for
the Chovas HaTefillah is the matir.
The Chovas HaTefillah is real. So that seemed to fall away all of a sudden when you had all these other things.
Because of Rav and Rav Yosef. Yeah. That's the key point, I think, in the Rav's presentation. What are Rav and Rav Yosef batting about? If the Chovas HaTefillah is the matir, why do I need Chiddush Badavar? And that question is especially penetrating because the Rav understands that Chiddush Badavar equals Netilas Rishus. Why do I need Netilas Rishus on a Tefillah Shel Chov? And here's where the Rav pulls a fast one. This is what I call a brisker, you know, move. You know, what's it called in hockey? You know, when you know, you're on the rink and you make that move. What's it called? You lived in Canada. What's it called? You know, that special move. A curveball in baseball, you know, in basketball, you have also, you know, the Rav moves in a very interesting direction. And this you should learn as a methodology. I mean, I'm talking to myself. When you see a machlokas in the Gemara, how do you analyze that machlokas? And the Rav says the best way of doing it is to see that one of the two mandiyomrim presented a chiddush, a new principle, and then, watch this, instead of saying that the other mandiyomrim rejected that principle, you say that the other mandiyomrim likewise admitted and embraced that same principle, but the machlokas is in a detail, in a prat.
That's right.
So what the Rav does here is, and you can again, you know, it's up to you to judge it, he wants to say that even the Chachamim that rejected Rav Yosef, and they don't require Chiddush Badavar, they agree that tefillah needs a matir, and even a tefillah's chovah needs a matir. And here's where the Rav makes his move, quoting the Mishnah at the beginning of Ein Omdim, that Ein Omdim l'spalel together with the Braisa there on Lamed Aleph, Elam Itoch Simcha Shal Mitzvah. And you and I would have read this Gemara for 1,000 years, we would have said that Simcha Shal Mitzvah just puts me in the right attitude, the right frame of mind for tefillah. You know, COVID rush, and you know, you're junking around with what's it called, with frivolities, right? And that's not appropriate for tefillah. So get in the mood for Simcha Shal Tefillah. But then the Rav reads Rashi, who says that Simcha Shal Mitzvah has to do with Divrei Tanchumim and Shevach V'Tishbachos, and the Rav begins to weave in front of our eyes an entire entity in which even a tefillah's chova needs a matir. Ein omdim lispal means it's also to lispal despite the chova. Elam Itoch Simcha Shal Mitzvah, which means Ritzui Shevach V'Tishbachos. Then the Rav makes the following move. Let's take that and apply it to Rav Simloi. Rav Simloi says, Li Olam Yisader Adam Shvachos Shal Makom V'Achakach Yispal Mimosher Aveinu. Meaning that tefillah itself needs a matir. We're already in the framework of tefillah, Ribono Shel Olam. That's what Chazal established for us. Why are you adding another matir? The answer is that tefillah itself needs a matir. And here's where the Rav makes his bomb, drops his bomb. What is that matir? The matir is Ritzui Shevach V'Tishbachos. The Rav goes a step further and he says that even Ritzui Shevach V'Tishbachos needs a matir. Because who am I to be Meshabech? Mi Amal El Kolti Loso. But be that as it may, Shevach is always going to be the introduction. And now Psukin Zimra, again for me personally, I can only, Alan, I don't know if you feel the same way I do, but Psukin Zimra, after I heard this, took on a whole different meaning to me. You know, I've been saying Psukin Zimra for decades, but it never meant anything to me, frankly. You know, I never, you know, now all of a sudden, Psukin Zimra is not just, you know, it's a bit of a hassle, you know. Psukin Zimra, you know, I'm on Shpilkes, you know, waiting to get out of it, and in the place I daven in Harnov, Psukin Zimra could take 20 minutes. Like, come on, guys, it's like it's not Erev Yom Kippur today. You know what I mean? Like, let me go. But now Psukin Zimra takes on a whole different meaning, you know, and a litvak now becomes a chassid. Why? Because who am I to daven in front of the Ribono Shel Olam without Ritzui Tishbachos? And the riff upgrades that by sandwiching Psukin Zimra between two brachos, upgrading it to an entity which the Rav calls a kiyum matir. But the Rav doesn't stop at that point, and he goes on to say that Birchas Kriyat Shema with Kriyat Shema is another entity of a matir. Again, we're justified, you know, we said in the name of our ghost, my money is that you would not recite Psukin Zimra after tefillah because it's a matir for tefillah. No one would say that if I davened, I can't recite Birchas Kriyat Shema, you know, Kriyat Shema Birchoseh. Kriyat Shema Birchoseh certainly has a life of its own. But what the Rav is doing is he's adding a whole new dimension to the kiyum of Birchas Kriyat Shema, and that is as a Torah's matir. And now we have the Psukin Zimra integrated with Birchas Kriyat Shema as one entity. We shouldn't be mafsik between the two. We have to go back Miarchei Melchama, and all that is leading up to Tefillah. I mean, it's a magnificent piece. You know, you could start nitpicking, and you know, is this, you know, is this point convincing? Is it not convincing? But when you see the the tapestry, you see the, you know, I remember I was standing in front of a Rembrandt. I'm a big fan of Rembrandt, and I was wondering why, you know, why he had to add a certain brush stroke, you know, because, Rembrandt is famous for his brush strokes. I mean, he really created a whole new movement in art. You know, people don't realize it. He was a tremendous Oiv Yisrael too. He lived in Borough Park of that time. We know the names of his neighbors, you know, Pinto, all the Yiddish guys there. They, in fact, if you go visit his house today, it's on Judenstraat, on what's called the Jewish Street. That's where you find the Rembrandt house. And Rembrandt has to be appreciated within the context of his whole painting. You know, if you take a magnifying glass and you look at this stroke and that stroke, forget it. You'll never appreciate Rembrandt. And that's what the Rav is doing for us here. You know, with one stroke and one move after the other, sewing together, integrating together so many different sugyas. I mean, then it's brilliant. So then you'll have this point and this horror and this footnote and this, you know, nun bet and this question. And I'm not saying, you know, that Torah, Milchavta Shel Torah will continue ad infinitum, you know, until the end of days. But, you know, if you see the whole picture, it's very compelling. But only when you see the whole picture. You know, if you... Go ahead, Alan, what did you want to say?
I wanted to say that it seems to me it's a little confusing.